The Big Small Business Show, proudly sponsored by MTN Business.
The Big Small Business Show is proudly brought to you by SAICA. Choose a difference maker, choose a chartered accountant.
Welcome to the Big Small Business Show, the show for all our entrepreneurs out there who are going out there and building businesses. Some of you hit it big very early. Some of you, like me, take a long time each day going in, building brick by brick and building a business that hopefully becomes a legacy for your kids and your grandchildren. One of those entrepreneurs is in studio with us today. His name is Jean-Paul Dabadif. He is from a family business called GARP Point of Sale. They provide technology software to the hospitality industry, such as stock management, customer queuing, coaster calling, and more. Let's have a look.
GARP Point of Sale is a registered company that provides user-friendly hardware and software technology to the hospitality industry, such as digital menu boards, stock management tools, KDS coaster integration, and so much more. This family business was established in the 80s, whereby son and managing director, Jean-Paul Dabadif, has helped to evolve it over the years, constantly adjusting it to market needs.
I was at university when my dad sort of wrote me into coming to work for him, 1989, and at that stage the business was just, we had just myself, my dad, my sister, and my mom. And we had a receptionist and a part-time programmer started in the garage of the house. You know, we went from about 15 staff at that stage and about 300 customers to where we now got 625 staff and about 8,500 customers across South Africa and Africa.
The business overcame various challenges over the years, including the COVID-19 pandemic, and has made a turnover of 380 million rand in the last financial year. Jean-Paul seeks advice on how to expand the footprint of the business offshore.
I think the big question for us is obviously going more global, and obviously Africa and global, but I think our type of company, when it comes to software, I can either open a branch in a new country, or I can try and appoint an agent. I think our biggest question would be, should we rather stick with agents, which has worked well in some countries and very badly in other countries, because if you get the wrong agent, it's a disaster, or should we rather do it properly and open a branch, but which obviously comes with a whole bunch of other, it's costly, you're earning rands, and if you had to open an office in London, your costs are in pounds. So yeah, that's the challenge. As many South African big businesses have, you can see them in the press, have had very bad experiences when they've gone overseas.
Welcome, JP.
Oh, thank you very much.
Right, so sure, you built a really, really significant business, over 600 staff, 380 million revenue. Just, you spoke about other African countries. Which other countries are you in?
We're in Zimbabwe, Kenya, Zambia, Namibia, Lesotho, Botswana, and a couple of other African countries. Some of them I've got agents, and some of them we just deal directly with the customers.
And in terms of those countries where you do have agents, did they approach you or you approach them?
No, most of them approached us over the years. And our most successful agent is Zimbabwe. He's built a significant business there in very, very tough economy.
Yeah.
There, and we could duplicate that across Africa, we'd be very happy, but it's not easy finding the right agent in every country.
And in your opinion, because a lot of people also battle with this exact question, and I've got a perspective, but I'm just going to just tease out a little bit more. What of that Zimbabwean agent has made him or her successful? What aspect are they more that they're hunters, they go and get work. What is it about them?
Two aspects, I think. One is definitely, I mean, you've got to make sales. So they're good at their sales. But the second thing I think they've done is they've done a very good job of looking after the customer, like we have around South Africa. So, you know, making sure that you, because, you know, our business is all about customer service. If you look after the customer and make sure that they feel that they're getting looked after, you will create, well, get a lot more customers, especially in a smaller country like that.
Now, if you had to look at their, let's call it their customer service approach and their new business acquisition approach, and look at your local South African approach, is there a correlation? Is it close? Is it similar?
It is similar, definitely, because we have a very, we've put a lot of focus on the customer service, making sure that the customer's looked after. You know, our philosophy is, if you look after the customer, you'll get more customers, right? So, they've done exactly the same, looking after the customer. Very well.
In you've obviously had some failures.
Yes.
As anyone who's tried to expand their business into other territories. Top two reasons for that, those failures.
So choosing the wrong agent. So agent, we appoint him, and then essentially if he's not really an ethical person, so you know he's doing a few dodgy deals here and there, and then it tarnishes your name. So that's been a challenge in some of those African countries, is just getting the wrong person. And then even if you get the right person, if they can't make sales, you know, they're your agent for a year and they make two sales, there's no point in having an agent. You know, you need an agent that's got to make sales, and it's got to be able to implement the systems properly, you know.
And just coming back to that agent, both positive and negative, are they an individual or are they a pre-existing company?
Well, they are individuals, but they have an existing. Some of them have existing companies. Our Zimbabwe agent is actually, you know, they had a pre-existing business that they were an agent for a different product in a different, slightly different market, but then they chose to take on our product and have been very successful with it.
Okay, it's time for me to sort of give some thoughts from my perspective. And, you know, I'm in an environment, just to give you some perspective, where I'm involved in many businesses, and many of those have expanded also across the border, and all asking exactly the same question around, you know, whether it's an agent or a licensee or their own branch, you know, another GOP Zimbabwe, or is it so-and-so trading as GOP Zimbabwe? So the sad answer is that there is no answer. It all depends, which sounds very much like a politician. But even if you look at the big brands, like the huge international brands, they don't have one single approach across the globe. They will have a different approach the way they are in Poland to the way that they are in Uruguay. The local dynamics then, the local laws and the local market context is a huge input into that decision. So an example is South Africa for an international company coming here would be BEE, right? So if you had to open up your own versus finding a local agent, logically, finding a local agent, especially if it was on selling into government environment, would be the right thing to do, whereas in another context, it wouldn't be. So if you're looking for a single answer, my sad news is there isn't, and it's going to depend. But what is common amongst all the businesses that have scaled across different territories through either of those models, combos of those models, licensing models, different models that are context appropriate, the one thing that's common across all of them is two things. Is number one is that they have a checklist, basically, and they look at that checklist and say, okay, we are looking for these traits, these characteristics, not just of the individual, but of the company. So it needs to be, I'm just making things up, 3 years or older. 100 clients under the belt, blah, 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 and put all your specs down of that ideal client. And then they are incredibly disciplined in how they apply that. And they go into the market and they look for that hypothesis. Then the reality hits. And then they go back to the hypothesis and say, well, we did well, and, you know, with this, so it's working, or we didn't do well, and it replicated that model. Okay. So what was different? What was wrong? And they start to hone this model. And they spend a disproportionate amount of time looking at the model and honing that model as they evolve. So they get better and better. But added to that, they then know what they're looking for, and they don't. Well, that's why my question was, do they come to you or you go to them? They actually go out and then they headhunt agents that fit that. So instead of being reactive, they are proactive in looking for an organization that fits that. Most of the successful companies that expand don't go after individuals, they go after companies. Okay. And then you've got the dilemma, am I going to just be one small thing in their basket, or am I going to be the main event? And that comes down to the value proposition, the size of market, and what you negotiate as part of that deal, that I want you to do this, but I want one sales dedicated salesperson, or two or five, or whatever the case may be. So you've got the best of both worlds, and these individuals are vetted by you as well and trained by you. Which brings me to the second point, which is that the systems and processes for replication are built and are flexible. So when you go into, and let's, I'm just going to use a different type of example because you're related to the fast food. If you go into a Muslim country, setting up a fast food operation is subtly different from doing it in if it's Ramadan right now, there's considerations around that. So you might be able to open up in that environment, same thing. And the set of rules that in terms of how we actually approach the market, how we service a client, etc., would be bespoke to that environment. And you start to learn how to do that as well. So this is more about the process than the outcome. And your journey, your personal journey, as JP's journey, is more about building the tools for both selecting and for them to then roll out a new clients and maintenance of clients. That's what your focus should be, and then be proactive to go and find it. So maybe not a you must go branch or you must go agent answer, but hopefully it's given you a little different perspective on what to think about.
No, thanks a lot. That definitely does makes a lot of sense. You know, I think the analogy of the bigger companies having honed their expertise over many years of and learning each time they go into a different country, they learn exactly, okay, what worked, what didn't work. That makes a lot of sense. And a nice, like you said, a checklist, okay, of the things that you need to be very mindful of. You know, and we probably have already done that because we have learned lessons, right, of where we've been successful and not successful. But making it a little bit more formal around what you said makes lots of sense.
Well, thanks to my fellow Durbanite, JP Dawoodi, who actually I knew from my time, not him personally, but the Business Gap, a big Durban success. We'll be right back.